all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue or a subject today, a defense of Christmas. Why do we celebrate Christmas? What is the centrality of the celebration of Christmas? We have so commercialized Christmas that multitudes do not see beyond the glitz and the glitter and the commercialization by way of television, radio, and the ads. And now with the handheld devices, with your handheld device being blown up each day, but somebody trying to sell something. I'm looking at an article that says, why do so many people miss the real meaning of Christmas? And in part, the article reads, because although many celebrate Christmas every year, most do not know anything about it. In spite of all the media promotion of Christmas, the majority of people will miss it because it has become so obscured. For those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, Christmas time is a time to focus on Jesus' birth. But even we can't catch up with the swirl of activity around Christmas time and can miss it in a practical sense. Satan has obscured and cluttered the Christmas concept, the Christian concept of Christmas, with such needless paraphernalia that its true meaning is easily lost. Ladies and gentlemen, have you lost sight of the real meaning of Christmas? That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you today as we celebrate Christmas this Christmas season. Have you lost the sight of celebration of Christmas? Have you lost the real meaning of Christmas? As we celebrate Christmas, let me remind you, had Jesus Christ never come into this world? My mind goes back to Dr. D. James Kennedy in the late 60s and early 70s in one of his books entitled, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? What if Jesus had never been born? And I'll summarize the thoughts from that. We would have no celebration had Jesus not come. We would have no Christmas had Jesus not been born. We would have no comforter if Jesus had not been born. We'd have no counselor had Jesus not come into the world. We would have no coming again if Jesus had not been born. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate Christmas, and we should rejoice in the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps, a professor at Conservative Theological University, one of our 4 sons, Greg, that hails from the southern tip of heaven. Delighted to have Greg with us for our celebration of Christmas. Greg, there are a lot of people that will say, well, Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th, so I'm not going to celebrate that as Christmas. Jesus really was born maybe in October, September, October. Jesus may have been born March, April, so therefore I'm just not going to celebrate 25th of December as Christmas. What say you?
My goodness. I'll tell you what, folks will argue about anything in the world, won't they? The reality is, if Jesus had not come in that manger 2,000 some years ago, we wouldn't have a Savior that went to the cross for us. Mm-hmm. If that's not worth celebrating, we've got real problems, folks. I'm going to take this minute and spin this around on you, because we're dancing around the point. But the real point of all of this goes back to, who is Jesus? Who is the Christ? Would you give us, from being the senior theologian in the room, give us the quick and dirty, what's the definition of Christology, and why is it important today?
Jesus should be the centrality of all that we say and do. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Yeshua Messiah, came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. Jesus Christ is God with us, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He is Emmanuel, being interpreted, the scripture says, God with us. So God came down from heaven's glory to earth's gloom, took upon himself, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, took upon himself the form of man. And it was through the birth of Jesus, the virgin birth, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, verse 35 in particular, where the Lord Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Mary furnished the flesh for Jesus Christ so that he could be the God-man, but it was God's blood in the embryo, the womb of Mary, that was Jesus Christ. So therefore, it is the virgin birth that brings us the Lord Jesus Christ.
I had a long discussion with a fellow the other night, and he comes from a group that thinks that Jesus is the brother of Satan, and he is another created being. And
that would be out of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mormonism.
That's right.
I think the world of the young man. He's a very bright mind, but he's soaked up a lot of Mormon doctrine, not necessarily a lot of Bible doctrine. Nonetheless. Tell me, for those individuals that either deny that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father and that he is God come in the flesh, and some will say that that deity did not fall upon Jesus until the dove descended after his baptism, and some will say deity was not there until he ascended into heaven. Can you defeat those propositions with a couple of tidbits from Scripture?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you asked that question. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, where the Scripture says that he took upon himself, that's an addition, not a diminution. That's an addition. So here's God come in the flesh. And when God came into the world over 2,000 years ago through the womb of Mary, it's God coming, but Mary furnished the flesh, therefore he's the 100% God-man. That statement that you're making, Greg, by the way, comes out of many of the false religions today, the Christian cults in particular, where Jesus Christ wasn't truly God. He was simply man. Dr. Robert Morris, which is on national television, or was until recently, Morris would always claim that Jesus Christ was not divine. When he came into the world, he shed all of his divinity. His omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence were all laid aside when he took upon himself the form of man. But if that is true, then not one drop of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was efficacious to save us from our sins. It's true that Jesus was not divine while he was here on earth, if he was not 100% deity and 100% man, he could not have saved anybody. He would not have been able to walk on water. He wouldn't have been able to cause the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the dead to rise and walk again. He would have been absolutely neutered, nullified of any of his miracles that we find in all of the Scripture had Jesus Christ not been divine.
It makes perfect sense then why many of these cults, their fallback position is a works salvation. They need to go on their mission, or they need to do this, that, the other thing. They need to perform some work, some action in order to go to paradise, inherit earth, or go to heaven, or be right before God. It seems like anyone that then takes any part away from the deity of Jesus Christ, their fallback position must be a works salvation, which every other religion on earth has a works salvation.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, let me say this before we take our next caller. If you're talking with anyone and they're from any quote cult, any denomination, any dogma they come up with to determine if they are biblical Christians, the first question, who is Jesus Christ? If he's any less than God come in the flesh, if he's any less than full deity and full humanity, if he's any less than that, then they are not serving the same Jesus. It is not biblical Christianity. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon to the both of you. What I wanted to say is that just like how God gave his son to us, who is Jesus, he also gave us with gifts, too. And on Christmas Day, it's like when I give gifts out, it's like because the Son of God gave us gifts. And if it wasn't for him, and if you get to live some years, the children may not quite understand it, but as they grow older, they'll get to understand that was the greatest gift that God gave to us.
Amen and amen and amen again. Go ahead.
I'm through, Dr. Youngblood, but I say Merry Christmas, and I thank God for seeing this day, because I just got to see another gift from God, and that's the 23rd great-grandbaby.
Amen. Awesome. Congratulations.
That's awesome. What a blessing.
I'm delighted to hear.
Wow.
Yes.
So
Terry, thank you. Yes.
Thank you
so much, Terry. Amen. God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.
You know, we come around the Christmas tree oftentimes, and I remember growing up so many times. Well, goodness gracious, it still happens in our house, doesn't it?
That's right.
The Christmas tree underneath that is just stacked up with gifts, and as much as we pass gifts back and to one another at Christmas time in remembrance, and we'll put those things under the tree, God gave that greatest gift and hung it upon a tree, hung him upon a tree. We've got a lot to be thankful for as we recall back and look back to the coming of the Savior.
Amen.
And the purpose for his coming.
Amen. Absolutely. I believe we have James on the line. James, go with the question or comment, please.
Merry Christmas, Doctor, and to your esteemed guest, Merry Christmas, and thank you. Just real quick comment. I love the show. Terrific show. I would just tell or encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ listening, please make sure that you don't miss the opportunity to invite somebody to church, somebody that you may be on the fence with, or don't be shy about it. And obviously, you can leverage the fact for your friends and family and loved ones, hey, as a Christmas gift to me, if you really want to make me happy, come to church
with
me.
There you go.
And all we can do is what God gives us to do and the power empowers us to do, but we can't impart what we're not empowered to do. But believe me when I say that sincere look in your eyes, and please come to church with me for Christmas, blah, blah, blah. And that's all I got, Dr. Youngblood. Love you. Love your show. The guests are great, and keep up the wonderful work for the Lord.
James, thank you so much. God bless you for your comments. May you and your family have a holy, blessed, Merry Christmas. Always a delight to share this time of the year with our listening audience and the blessings that we have in Christ. Dr. Phelps, had Jesus never come, we would have, as one put it, a very dark society, a very dark world. Every point and place on the face of the earth that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been spread, we have an enlightened society, a society that is vastly different from all other parts of the world where the gospel of Jesus Christ has not been proclaimed, where Christianity has not been the focal point of that nation or that world or that particular segment of society. What would you say in relationship to a person that wants to challenge the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, or that wants to challenge it, say, that we can't celebrate it because it's a pagan time or celebration? How would you defend the celebration of Christmas? What are your words? What biblical text comes to your mind? What would you challenge our listeners with that would challenge our listeners to celebrate Christmas from a central biblicist worldview?
One of the first things I would like to suggest is that Christmas has brought to us hope for things to come.
Amen.
We have the hope of eternal life in Christ.
Amen.
It's a great message of the Gospel of John and other portions of the scriptures written by the Apostle Paul. We find that we have hope in him that we could not find any other way or by any other religion. No other religion in the world offers the hope of eternal life and forgiveness of sins, of blessedness in life, blessings of God. No other religion offers to us a fellowship that God tells us about, that Jesus has made possible for us.
Amen. It is the only hope in the world today, and yet multitudes miss that hope. And by the way, if my bride were to go out and find a super bound dress, she'd want to tell everybody in her Sunday school class, all the ladies, about that super buy. It's good news. If we have good news about the election, for example, we want to tell everybody about the good news. Well, the Bible calls the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ good news. Let me read that verse in Luke chapter 2 where the scripture says about the good news, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the celebration of the birth of Christ. In fact, let me find that very quickly. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, we read these words. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord himself had made known unto us. It was the good news that promulgated the joy in the hearts and the lives of the shepherds. They wanted to go see it. And once they've seen it, you see in the balance of that text, they went rejoicing and telling everybody what they'd seen and what they'd heard. I'm amazed, and James just talked about inviting others to come to church on Christmas for the celebration of Christ's birth. What better time to celebrate that good news? Somehow, some way, I think we have diminished the joy of the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, we've seen secularization. Sure, we've seen the commercialization of Christmas. Sure, we've witnessed that all of that we're bombarded with about buy this, buy that, buy that. You've got Black Friday. You've got Cyber Mondays, et cetera, et cetera. All takes away from the central focus on the fact that Christmas is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good news, and that good news we need to share with others.
I'll tell you what, every Christmas you're going to find a Grinch in the crowd.
Yeah.
You go back 2,000 years ago, and that Grinch, his name was Herod. So for you naysayers, I just want you to read that story of Herod. It isn't a pretty picture, all right?
That's right. It is the fact that we have, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, we need to recognize that it is a time of joy. In fact, in verse 10 of Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, and the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I like that word behold, look intently and see is what it means. I bring you good tidings, that's good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Dr. Phelps, speak to that. I've had his good news, and it should bring joy in the hearts and the lives of every hearer as we celebrate Christmas.
One of the things that I have learned is that Christmas is a time when we are to realize that God has fulfilled his promise of a Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time of fulfillment. God promised throughout all the Old Testament that he would send a Redeemer.
Yes.
Even Job talked about that.
That's right.
Job talked about the hope that he had. We find that David talked about that, he even mentioned the resurrection. God would send his son, and in God's plan, his son would take upon him the form of man. He would be made like us. He would be a human being. He would be flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have a body to live in.
That's right.
God prepared a body, and we believe that that was made possible by way of the virgin birth.
Yes.
And he would suffer for our sins at the cross, according to Isaiah chapter 53. Mm-hmm. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter.
Yes.
In fact, he is called the Lamb of God. He suffered and bled and died. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He came to be our Savior, but he also was promised throughout the scriptures that God would raise him up from the dead. And so he now lives. He ascended to heaven, where he is exalted now at the right hand of God, exalted as a prince and a savior. But he's coming again.
Amen.
God has promised.
That's also good news.
That he would be raised up and set down in heaven, but that he would come again. We believe that could happen anytime. There's nothing that needs to be fulfilled before the soon coming of Christ. It may be today.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again, and we're going to experience a resurrection as believers. And as I said a few moments ago, as Christians, we're the only ones that have that kind of hope.
That's right.
We are not going to just face death and that's all. We're not going to face an eternity without God or without peace and joy and gladness that he has promised. We're going to be raised up. We're going to be with Jesus in heaven for about 7 years. I'm speaking that way in case Jesus comes today.
That's right.
He could. About 7 years, we're going to be in heaven for a specific reason. It's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb mm-hmm. that we'll experience and possibly rewards. Then Jesus is coming back again, and this time he's coming in his role as the King.
That's right.
He's going to be the Prince of Peace, and we're going to experience 1,000 years of peace on earth. That's a great prospect we have as believing Christians. God has promised that we'll rule and reign with Christ. And after that, we're going to have forever to be with Jesus in a new heaven and a new earth. And between you and me, that's a great thing to look forward to.
Amen.
God has given us wonderful promises in his word about the future. And we have the blessed hope Jesus may come today.
Amen.
Wonderful it will be. That's our Savior who was born on Christmas Day.
That's right. So it deserves deep, deep, deep celebration. Don't you think so, Greg?
Amen.
So we celebrate Christmas. We wake up on Christmas morning with the kids and the grandkids. What's the first thing needs to be done? Should it be the rambling through and opening gifts? How should we as Christian families, Greg, celebrate Christmas?
I've loved the fact that the tradition in the Youngblood household has been year after year after year the very same thing. We read that biblical story of the coming of Jesus Christ in that manger 2,000 some years ago. And I suppose I look at the culture today, and you know, I'm always enamored with, astounded by the brilliance in some folks, just smart people, really smart people. But I fear that many of them fail to be wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture says that wise men sought after him.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, those three wise guys, it was three gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Some say that entourage may have been in the hundreds. Now, whatever the number was, if it was three or if it was 300, it was enough to have gotten Herod's attention.
That's right.
It petrified the man.
Mm-hmm.
But wise men sought the Messiah then. Wise men should seek him today. I challenge anyone and everyone, whether you count yourself among the most brilliant or not so much, you can be a wise man today by seeking the Savior.
Absolutely. And I go back to an article that I'm looking at here. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? The debate about whether Christians should celebrate Christmas has been ongoing for centuries. There are equally sincere and committed Christians on both sides of the issue, each with multiple reasons why or why not Christians celebrating Christmas. It goes further in the article. Some Christians do not celebrate Christmas because the holiday has become increasingly secularized. There's not much Christian about most of what we celebrate December the 25th. Those Christians who do celebrate Christmas often see the festivities as an opportunity to proclaim Christ as the reason for the season and point to the virgin birth of our Savior. The world came to humbly worship even at Bethlehem, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the defense of Christmas. There are those out there, perhaps you're listening, that you diminish the reality of Christmas because you have some stigma, you have some dogma that you're believing in. You do not believe that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, or you believe somehow, some way, that Christmas is so secularized that you just don't, you're just going to reject it completely. There's multitudes of reasons, irrational reasons, that people do not celebrate Christmas. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, in these last couple of moments, as we confront that issue, that we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Dr. Phelps, take a moment in our wrap-up time to talk about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and what scriptures we have that validate that Jesus Christ is, in fact, Yeshua Messiah, that he is God come in the flesh. So we're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is God come in the flesh. Speak to that, Dr. Phelps, in our closing moments.
I have discovered by reading scriptures some wonderful things about the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. If we're to know the truth about who Jesus is, or is Jesus God, we must read the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so I've discovered a lot of things, something about his being divine or being confessed to be the Son of God. And so we find that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus is God's Son. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel spoke to Mary, saying to her, by words of explanation of how that was to happen, the angel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, or the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God." The angel spoke of him as the Son of God. At his baptism, the Heavenly Father spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And by his miracles, Jesus performed miracles, and by those we know that Jesus is the Christ, Messiah, the Son of God.
Amen.
And that believing we might have life through his name.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-290. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7.